you have these devices in your house, like Google or Alexa, where you can go, Alexa, how high is Mount Everest? And 29,000 feet. Who has something like that? They can just kind of ask a question, and I don't think there's going to be any more people going door to door trying to sell encyclopedias, that's for sure. Well, I was having fun with ours the other day, and I said, Alexa, what is the fastest growing religion in the United States of America? Now, the Wednesday morning Bible study know the answer to this. I'm going to tell the rest of you, but we're going to first say a short prayer. Father, as we look into your word today, what a glorious passage of scripture, Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And Father, as we look into your word, challenge us, encourage us, convict us where we need it. And Father, may the result of today mean a deeper, deeper love for you and a deeper, deeper love for our neighbor. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who knows the answer to that? Islam. If you said Islam, then you got it right. Now, I have a couple Muslim friends, but I texted one and I said, Umal, and this is all kind of in jest, because she knows I'm a Christian. She tried to convert me to Islam. And of course, I tried to return the favor. And I go, well, Umal, looks like you're winning right now at the moment. And she said, oh, Eric, let me correct you. It's not just in the United States. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. And then she went on to say, and Eric, the reason why is because it's the truth. It's time for you to get the truth. What happened to the witness of the Christian church in America, in the world? What happened? I get the emails from the Christian Post. Am I the only one that gets those or not? It's a newspaper called the Christian Post. And they had a survey in here. It said, a survey from LifeWay Research has revealed that most American Christians want to share their faith, but 70% have not shared the gospel with a stranger in the past 6 months. Okay. The research also showed that 52% of Americans who identify as Christians believe that encouraging someone to change their religious beliefs is offensive and disrespectful. Now, if you're in that camp, and I love Muslims and I love Hindus and I interact with them all the time, I love sharing my faith and my faith tradition with others, and it's mutual respect, and it's... But if we are in that camp, then we have to kind of go to Jesus and maybe... Unless I'm reading my Bible wrong, he said, go and make disciples of all nations in the Great Commission, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And in Acts, before we get to chapter 2, Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power, my apostles, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So I get the perspective that the intention of the Christian church, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second, was to propagate the gospel, the saving word of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to a world that needs to hear it. Right? And I don't think that's something, if you feel you have to apologize for that, again, showing everyone deep respect and caring, but if our opinion is, though, I don't, you know, but then maybe we feel we have to correct Jesus' understanding of this, and I don't know. Let me finish off here. Approximately two-thirds of Christians saying they are not familiar with any methods for telling about Jesus, while 93 expressed openness to having a conversation about faith with a friend. Only 52% shared a story about what God has done in their life with a non-Christian, a friend or family member in the last 6 days. This is not a guilt trip, by the way. Not a guilt trip. I want to explore Acts chapter 2 and look at our lives. And how do we feel about that? How do we feel about that? I was going to read the section, but I won't again. I was going to read Acts chapter 2. I just wanted to read, in addition to what was read by Kathy and Felicia, Acts 2:41 says that there were added that day, on the day of Pentecost, about 3,000 souls. So there were 3,000 people at least that converted to Christianity on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts here. How would you do in that poll? How would you do in that poll? Again, not a guilt trip. I have my own work to do, so I'm not pointing my finger at anyone. Where's Fred at? He told us what that means. Is he here, Fred? Okay, he was here in Sunday school. You know what that happens when you do that, right? What does Pentecost stand for? Well, Pentecost means 50. The festival was 50 days after the Passover. It was a harvest festival, and in the Old Testament, it was referred to as the Feast of Weeks. It was essentially for harvest. What was going on the day of Pentecost was the apostles, several women, probably maybe about 120 people, were gathered together, waiting in anticipation for the coming of the Holy Spirit, which was promised. They didn't really know what to expect, but they knew to be anticipating and waiting in prayer. Then suddenly things went off the radar. There was a very loud noise which sounded like a what? A mighty rushing wind. There was a noise, a really loud noise. And then there appeared above their heads tongues of fire. There was a video and an audio confirmation that this was an act of God. It would be like if we're in here, let's say we all speak different languages, some German, some Spanish, French, and so on, and then all of a sudden, a few of us from Gardner's begin to speak all these different languages. And you're like, how is that possibly taking place? The languages, it says they spoke in tongues, they were essentially earthly languages. It just says that. There wasn't anything mystical about that. They were speaking in the languages of all those who had been there for the festival in their language, and they marveled at it. The reactions were of two kind to this phenomenon that took place. There were some that ridiculed them. They had way too much wine. They had way too much wine. But the other response was, how can this be happening? How can this be happening? Some suggest that this incident on the day of Pentecost, where the apostles began to speak in other earthly languages, is kind of a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. Remember what happened there? There was one earthly language, and because of the pride of humanity wanting to ascend up to God, the arrogance and the pride, God confounded their language, and they were confused. This seems to be like a bookend to that. Here we have a miracle where all of these people gather together. And here are these apostles. They were not trained in all these languages by any means. It was a miracle. It was a miracle that was taking place. This is a fulfillment of Joel's prophecy that was read earlier, which is a really important part. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given out, not to everybody, but to certain people in specific situations for a certain purpose, and that was it. But according to Joel's prophecy, which Felicia read, the Holy Spirit now on the day of Pentecost is poured out to the entire Christian church. There isn't anyone within the body of Christ that does not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in all of the body of Christ. What or who is the Holy Spirit anyway? Well, the third person of the Trinity, like I just told the kids today, he is God Almighty. He is not an active impersonal force that comes along, right? He engages, he answers prayer. Jesus says in John 14, which we also read, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives. He lives in you and will be in you. What does this mean for us today? Now, I've put myself in your shoes sitting out there thinking, okay, where's he going to go with this? Where's he heading with this? Do you struggle sharing your faith? I do. I do. For a variety of reasons. Well, one is, in my daytime job, if I did it, I'd get one warning, and time number two, and I would be fired. I have a corporate job in the corporate world, and so that's in our training, so I respect that. But sometimes I feel uncomfortable in those settings, and I bet you do too. I know I don't want to come off as being awkward or make someone feel bad unnecessarily. Right? Does anyone struggle at all with sharing what God has done in their lives? I don't think that we're supposed to go out and force stuff if it doesn't feel like it's from God. I think that is where Pentecost comes in for you and I. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in this and give us the words and the opportunities to share our faith. But that's what they did. They shared the mighty works of God. They shared the mighty works of God. We can intentionally take that as our takeaway from this. If you struggle like me for a variety of reasons of sharing your faith, we can say, Holy Spirit, I'm struggling with this. I want you to create opportunities in my life, in my sphere of people that I interact with. I want them to come from you. I don't want to force something or manufacture something that does not feel like it's from God. I want it to be empowered by God through the Holy Spirit in the way he wants me to do it. We can pray that. Give me the opportunities to speak of the mighty acts of God, to show how, even though I was dead in my trespasses and sin, I have been set free by the gospel. Isn't that really good news? I know it is for me. I know it is for me. Because my righteous deeds are as filthy rags. That's a really, really good piece of good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we have been set free from sin. I encourage you, if you do struggle, like me, with just how to do that, and you don't want to force something just to kind of get it out of the way, but you want to be in alignment with God, the Holy Spirit, according to how he would want you to do that, you can pray that. Give me the opportunities. Maybe if we all did that, we would get a different answer from Alexa when we asked, what is the fastest growing religion in the United States? Amen.